time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Everybody, don't be alarmed. Cash isn't here, but today, I don't know, maybe it might be a good thing.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. Cash man out in Lansing calling some derbies, so he's letting the goons run the place.
That's
today.
That might not be a good idea.
That might not be the best choice he's ever made, but you know what? We're just going to roll with it. We do have some holidays today. Global Forgiveness Day and Just Because Day. You could get away with a lot
just because.
With that. Just because. I could be down with that. Also, a birthday today, former two-time women's champ Jazz is 43 today. Pain Clinic, as always, brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. You can join us September 11th for WWE's SmackDown pay-per-view Backlash. That's out at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. That starts at 8 o'clock. Join us for all the fun there September 11th for SmackDown's first branded pay-per-view Backlash. And we're also going to be out there the night before, September 10th, UFC 203 out at the garage door.
Stipe Milosevic
and a guy you might be familiar with if you've followed wrestling, making his long-awaited debut. CM Punk versus Mickey Gall. So that is out. 10 o'clock start time. Get there early. It's always busy. And with Punk on the card and the wrestling fans we have out here.
And the heavyweight title.
And the heavyweight title match.
It's Cleveland.
It's going to be good. And yeah, it is close. It is happening in Cleveland. I got to get this plug in here for you. If you're interested in roller derby, maybe fancy yourself a skater, or maybe being an official more up your alley, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact them, rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Become one of the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. All right, my name is DC. I'm here with the boy who grew up on the show.
The original.
The original, Danger Boy.
Yes.
And
good morning.
Apparently it's only his middle name.
Yes, Danger is my villain. It's actually both.
And as far as the traditional crew, that's it today.
Kind of weird.
It is weird not having some of those other familiar voices on the radio. But, hey, me and Danger, how could it go bad with the double Ds in the studio?
That's very true.
But we do have a special guest also joining us. And one of the perks to Rich not being here this week is this gentleman will not have his name mispronounced once.
Thank God.
Mark House joining us again.
Thank you very much for getting it right. I'll give you $5 afterwards.
Oh, ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wait, Matt. Matt, does that count as payola?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, sweet.
Perfect.
And Mark, you brought with you
my social media ambassador, my life coach, and my self-appointed best friend. Jackson Smart.
Technically, Mark, I'm not your self-appointed best friend. I am your official best friend.
Sorry, trademarks. TM'd.
Trademark.
It's
there,
official.
There is a certificate that I have yet to frame that was given me upon the official best friendship of our best friendship.
Is that what I signed off on?
I know I signed something.
Yeah.
I thought it was a disclosure agreement. I didn't know that it was a best friend certificate.
Oh, no, yeah, you signed an NDA, too. Legally speaking, you shouldn't be here speaking to the public. Well, I mean, I'm here, so that's fine. But this past week after, I don't know why you guys are laughing, but he did sign an NDA.
Uh-huh.
This past week after all of your exposure, after the nonsense that happened last week in Brooklyn, I'm sorry. I sometimes mispronounce that. I'm not from there.
Well, it's
all of the exposure you had on all these podcasts without me, that's illegal. I mean, as per our contract, you signed an NDA, you signed an official contract that I would appear on your media.
Is that why you came this morning?
I came this morning for various other reasons, but I'm here today.
Gotcha.
Because that, yes.
Well, let's get back to the show.
Okay, well, let's start with that. That's one of the main reasons Mark joined us this morning, for those of you that maybe haven't been following, but if you're in the wrestling circles out there, I don't know how you didn't see this story. Last weekend, Mark House involved in a Tier 1 event down in Brooklyn. He was scheduled to face a female opponent. Now, the card had been promoted for weeks.
Yep.
It was no surprise to anybody. Yet when the match starts, the controversy starts. With the New York State Athletic Commission, their representative on site for the event,
yep,
calling the match over, saying that a man cannot fight a woman.
It was the most bizarre thing, because it kills me. So I'm going to preface it, and I'm going to start the conversation as such. Everybody out there, not everybody, a lot of people out there have contacted me or contacted any of the social media places or any radio, podcast, newspaper. They think it's a work. I am telling you now, I am not trying to work people, because it is 2016. We all know that wrestling is entertainment. This was 100% real, and it pissed me off. It was one of those things where, again, it was promoted. The commission came, took pictures of the run sheet, saw the graphics of a man and a woman standing next to each other ready to fight. We get in, we lock up. They had multiple times to say, we don't particularly care for this. This can't happen. We get in the ring, we lock up, start chaining, and he walks over, Mr. Orlando walks over and rings the bell. He goes, you can't do this. A man cannot wrestle a woman. Absolutely not. Stop the match. Continues to tell us that we can't do it. Referee, his name is Chris, he gets on the microphone, and it's known common knowledge with the wrestling world and with the story itself is that he was dating Jesse Brooks. So he got on and had a few choice words. It wasn't anything horrible. He just said, ask them if, you know, this is sexist and you can't do this. And, like, the commission still said, no, you can't do this. So we ended up just kind of giving up for the moment and walking to the back to start figuring it out. We get to the back, and me, I didn't want to do anything stupid, so I made sure to assert myself a little bit of distance away to let everybody else deal with it, especially Jackson. He knew better, so he kind of held me back because I don't tolerate that stuff.
And that's my job, Mark. I watch the commissioners deliberate. I watch the commissioners discuss with the promoters. I actually ask the commissioners a few questions that they didn't have answers to, and then we politely requested that they find the actual rule in the rule book that says that a man cannot fight a woman, and they couldn't find a rule. Literally, the only thing they found was a line that said that a boxer cannot compete against a boxer of the opposite gender. And we said to them, that says boxer, that doesn't say wrestler. And they said, a boxer is a wrestler. And so,
and laws are very specific. It's not up for interpretation. Yeah. It's like, well, it's not an and or question. It's a law, rule.
It literally says boxer, and it doesn't say wrestler. It says there's no rules like that governing wrestlers, because as many people know, y'all might not, some people do, that in the early 40s, the New York State Athletic Commission deemed that every professional wrestling match in the state of New York is considered an exhibition. The New York State Athletic Commission, even though they're not bright these days, was smart to the business in the 30s.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where, like, when we get backstage, too, is that Jackson and Chris and the promoters and Jesse are all trying to ask questions and pull up rule books, and I'm just sitting back and watching, and the whole time Jesse is trying to ask this guy questions. I don't understand why. You need to explain this to me. Just things of that nature. And he just refused to talk to her. Would not even acknowledge that she was there. And then as Chris started to ask more questions and realizing that he was probably in the wrong, he stopped focusing on him. And it just got to that point. It was just really weird because, like, not even as a commission, but as an adult, if you're going to make an adult decision to do something like that and to cause some sort of either embarrassment or public shaming or something where it causes a negative feeling and connotation towards somebody, you should probably be adult enough to be able to explain why. And he wouldn't even do that. He just ignored the two entities, ignored me. I mean, I walked by him at least 20 times throughout the rest of the night, didn't even look at us, and just went right to the promoter. Promoter gets on the phone, and this was from one of the articles. I did not hear it, so it's not me firsthand hearing it, but from one of the articles.
I can fill you in. I stood right next to
it. Because it was one of the articles from the Gothamist, is that it was
the superior of Orlando got on the phone with Dennis Long, the promoter of Tier 1 Wrestling, and said, a man can wrestle a man, a woman can wrestle a woman. The only way a woman can wrestle a man is in the bedroom. And that was the comment that was made on the phone.
That's outstanding, especially in 2016.
But that's just that, and that's from what the article and from what Dennis had explained. And then from there, they got on the phone with the lawyers and went back and forth. And the lawyers, in to sum it up, are basically, it's probably not in your best interest to hold them from wrestling. And so then the commission was like, you can go on. And we went out and wrestled. And then they just left. And that was really about it for the night. But it was just one of those things where, like, they were just... I mean, I could understand if they went and apologized to everybody and were like, we made a mistake, we're really sorry, we screwed up. But it was one of those things where he was so matter-of-fact about it, called the match, then when he was in the wrong, didn't say a word, just went, eh, you can have your wrestling match, and then left. Like, there was no sympathy. He didn't. I don't think he realized that there was anything wrong with what he did. I think he just thought, well, whatever, it is what it is, and then moved on. So that's where the issue lies, where a lot of people are harping on it and getting upset about, because, I mean, that was... embarrassing to Jesse. I mean, I felt horrible for her because, like, you know, women and equality and whatnot, it's a form of entertainment. It's like, I couldn't imagine going on set to a movie and there's a fight scene between a man and a woman and they stop it because they go, a woman cannot fight a man in a movie scene. Like, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
Well, I think even in the more, and this is more behind the scenes, the more atrocious thing is the fact that there's not that many women in wrestling.
No.
When they train, they're training with men. That's who they're learning from. That's who they're training with.
Correct.
For the most part, that's who they're wrestling with. That's who they learn. So why couldn't that happen on a show? I mean...
And it kills me because...
And I've seen shows where it's happened.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, myself, I've wrestled a woman.
Yeah.
So I've never seen this
happen. It depends on the person. Yeah. It depends on the commission. And it's just one of those things, I don't know if he just finds it distasteful or he just doesn't want it. I can't speak for him, but I don't know.
He was in a bad mood that day, something like that.
I'm just glad he wasn't at the last 2CW show where it was a triple threat match, two men against a woman.
Yeah.
Like, imagine what he would have done there.
He would have flipped out. And the funny part is like, from what I know, is that he tries really, I don't know if he just doesn't think it's entertainment or if he thinks it's real, but I know that he's, from what I've heard stories in the past, because I've never had to deal with him, but like, there's been other wrestlers in the New York City area that says, like, he stopped a match because there was too many dives to the outside. He tried to stop shows because I guess there's an 11 o'clock curfew in the rule books. He's asked people to untape their fists because it causes more pain and destruction with the strikes. But I'm like, but it's entertainment.
they're going to have fun when they start regulating MMA.
Oh, yeah.
A couple days.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I don't know if you've read some of the articles, but, I mean, the Orlando and his associate, they both ended up having issues with boxing in the past. So, I mean, there's articles. I'll send you guys the article, but I guess there was something where there was issues with scoring of boxing with the two individuals.
Yeah, the other commissioner, Dorothy Parker, is a New York State Athletic Commissioner who inspects pro wrestling events, and she also inspects boxing, mainly boxing. She judges boxing matches out of state, even though New York State Athletic Commission specifically says that inspectors cannot judge boxing matches. And if you want to get into the minutiae on that, you know, we can. But it's just not a good thing. I mean, we're all fight fans here, and we all know what's gonna happen if an inspector has to inspect a boxer and then goes out of state and judges a match. What happens if that boxer that she inspected in New York State, you know, and became friendly with, is now in a match that she's judging? Is she going to be able to be impartial? I'm not suggesting that she's not at all. You know,
but it raises questions.
But it raises questions. You have to look at things.
All right, well, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. We're also going to talk about the busy week of wrestling. We've had new champions crowned, champions going down to injuries. We got to talk SummerSlam.
Interesting matches.
There's so much to talk about. You want to get a call in or text in. The number is 585-222-1280. We'll be back with more Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280.
And now, the iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
What's up, sports fanatics? It's your pal, Bald Freak Ronnie. I'm going to take you on a trip back in time to this week in sports history. Starting way back in 1881, when the first tennis championships in the U.S. are played. This week in 1905, Ty Cobb makes his major league debut with the Detroit Tigers. In 1959, Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher Sandy Koufax strikes out 18 batters, setting a new National League record at the time for most strikeouts in a single game. This week in 1972, Olga Korbut from the Soviet Union wins an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. And this week in 1999, 22 of Major League Baseball's 68 permanent umpires are replaced after the umpires union fails to force an early start to negotiations for a new labor contract.
That's your iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule. Dan Patrick. Weekday mornings, 9 till noon. On Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
1280 Rochester.
I can't talk over this. Like, Winthrop, like, can we just set out, like, a little alert, letting people know, like, we're still here. It's not like a dead air situation. We haven't gone anywhere, but we just need to let this music play uninterrupted for the next 30 seconds.
I'm okay with that.
I will say this, WWE stepping up their theme music game. This is one of the most enjoyable themes they've made in quite some time. In his entrance at NXT.
I think went number one on the charts.
Oh, yes. And I mean, you know, let alone the whole Bobby Roode thing, his entrance at NXT, but the addition of Gargano and Ciampa in their series of glorious bombs are just fantastic. All right. We might just bump with that for every single break from now on. Nothing else. Just
because, no reason not to.
Because just glorious, glorious no domination in and out of every single break. Back here on the Pain Clinic, Danger Boy here. We got some special guests. And another one just came into the studio. Now, I'm not going to say it has to do with Cashman. But I am going to say that two out of the last three times I've hosted the show and Cash has been gone, this man has come back. The Artiste joining us again in the studio.
Good morning.
Enjoying your last weekend of freedom before the holiday season.
hockey season starts next weekend for us, as crazy as that is. But our exhibition schedule opens up Labor Day weekend, so was on the road this week, Oklahoma, everywhere, and just decided to randomly come back to Rochester for a couple days. So, good to be here. It is strange. Yeah, my last two times in the studio, no Cash Man. I don't know if he's got a cash stash these days. I don't know these type of things. But
no, Dan Severn scared
him. Yeah, Dan Severn put him in his place. Like, really? Don't even try. Yeah, you missed that 2 weeks
ago. So he wouldn't listen to us, but he'll listen to Dan the Beast Severn. That makes sense.
Well, here's the deal. We could tell him the cash dash is ridiculous all we want, but it's not like we have anything to back it up with.
But Dan Severn did.
Is there anything Dan Severn can't tell somebody to do?
No, I think if Dan Severn tells you to do something, you do it.
Including Chuck Norris?
Yeah. Fall out? Yeah, Chuck Norris be damned.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris be damned.
Ooh. I like it.
Is that a thing?
It is now. All right, so let's dive back in. Let's try to bring a close to this. We're talking to Mark House about that incident with Tier 1 last weekend. So, I mean, this goes on. It wasn't so much that, you know, the commission made a mistake in the rulings. It's that they made themselves look foolish, and they turned it into this huge spectacle when it really didn't need to be. If you've paid attention to wrestling over the past, 50 years?
Yeah.
A woman fighting a man is nothing new in wrestling?
What boggles my mind, it was one of those things where in New York State, is upstate New York, I worked a woman the week prior. Didn't think it was anything, and it's never been anything. And I don't know. I just, at the end of the day, I think that they need to get on the same page within their own entity to figure out what their regulations are, because it's different everywhere you go, and they need to be on the same plane if they're going to move forward, because if not, they're just going to keep running into these issues where they have different regions and different areas doing different things, and then people are just going to keep calling them out on it, and they're just going to fall apart.
Wait, are you suggesting we should federalize?
Sure.
Bigger government.
You're suggesting that we need bigger government to regulate the sports of boxing and professional wrestling.
No, I'm saying
the sport
commission
of boxing
itself needs to be on its own same page with its own little entities. So each little area, yes.
But you're talking about big government. You're talking about government intrusion on states' rights. If we want to talk about states' rights, we can talk about states' rights. Each state has their own commission. Some states don't even have a commission.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
I'm talking about the difference between New York City and upstate New York, still within the same state.
Well, it's funny that the New York State Athletic Commission is inconsistent.
That's never happened.
Yeah, and I feel like nothing's changed at all.
No.
No, New York has always been a word you can't use on the radio. A mess. That's a nice way to put it. It's always been a mess. But some fallout from this. You know, you're just there. You just happen to be in this position. But now all of a sudden, Mark House, like, women's rights activist. Like,
hey, man. Well, the thing is, I mean, at the end of the day, they work, and I can attest to this, is that a lot of the women that come in that are succeeding, that are top-end performers in the independents, they work twice as hard as any man because they have to, because they get looked at completely differently. So they have to go out there and take the beatings and give them out and train twice as hard to be able to prove themselves on an equal level. So, like, kudos to her for getting in there and fighting, and you know, she took it to me, and she beat me good.
I mean, all the, you know, we talked a little bit last night. Like you said, the story is everywhere.
It's crazy how quickly it blew up.
Social media manager right now, the interviews you're getting, everything going on. I mean, it's been crazy.
It's been one of those things where people would say, oh, the things go viral. And I'm like, yeah, things go viral. There was an article written by New York Sports Scene the next day, and it blew up. I mean, within, like, I'm not kidding. I woke up in the morning 4 or 5 hours afterwards, after the show and whatnot, and I woke up to a couple hundred notifications, like, out of nowhere, and it was just people adding me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram wanting to get to know me and contact me. I mean, it's like a full-time job now where it's just I go to work, and all day it's just one after another after another after another. It's just nonstop. So, I mean, it's cool. It's tiring, but it's cool to be able to, like, at least get it out there. And I guess what I'm trying to get out of it, which is good, is I know Chris and Jesse are, you know, wanting the people to view everybody as equals and whatnot, and I do as well. But, I mean, the biggest thing out of this is being able to use whatever vehicle I can to push pro wrestling, independent wrestling, wrestling in general. Go watch it. Go support it. And really watch guy-guy, girl-girl, guy-girl. It doesn't matter. Just go watch wrestling and have a good time and support the scene. And I think that's the best way I can go out and do it, and I love being able to have that medium to now go out and say, you haven't watched pro wrestling? You're interested? Please come down and watch it. You'll be entertained.
Well, the thing with that, too, is, like, for people to try out an indie wrestling show or something these days, it is a totally different product than it was 10 years ago, 30 years ago. So while this sometimes exists on a storyline basis, if somebody thinks a guy's wrestling a girl, they might immediately think Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
But they don't know where, you know, a couple weeks ago I saw a six-man match in Chicago that Candice LeRae is in. It has nothing. It does not matter that she is a guy or a girl. Like, she's just in the match competing like everybody else.
People aren't used to that
who aren't, like, actively watching on a regular basis. So if they go out and they try that, they'll realize, like, this is not, like, some kind of sexist thing. I mean, granted, there's always wrestling storylines that happen here or there, but most of these intergender matches, it's not about the intergender thing at all. It's just two people competing.
Yeah, and it's kind of that point where it's looked at as equals. It's not looked at as awkward, uncomfortable. It's not looked at like it was, like you said, with Andy Kaufman, where it's like, oh, God, this woman's going to get beat down, and he's just toying with her. It's a legit competition where you really don't know who's going to win.
Guys, Andy Kaufman, his matches were legitimate.
That's true.
They were equal. I mean, Andy Kaufman proved years ago that men are better than women. I feel like as the intergender champion, Andy Kaufman championed the fact that, yeah, okay, so men and women are equal. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, but men are probably more often than not going to beat women in the wrestling ring.
So on the radio right now, you're officially making a public statement that men are superior to women.
In the wrestling ring. I mean, what happened?
Just in the wrestling ring?
Jackson.
In the wrestling ring.
You should probably stop, Jackson.
Why?
Oh, okay.
It's true. I mean, it was a fluke. Jesse Brooks beat you as a fluke. That was a fluke.
No, she was a tough competitor, and she put the boots to me, and it was a hard-fought battle back and forth, and she got the best of me with
the
submission.
You're just being diplomatic. I taught you well. But it's times like these where we really need to speak the truth here. It was a one-off.
That armbar submission looked pretty legit to me.
It popped my arm pretty good. For real.
I mean, I don't know how much of a fluke that actually was, but, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Might be wrong, entitled to your opinion.
I was standing right next to the ring. I feel like if anybody knows, it's going to be me.
I feel like if anybody would know, it would be Mark, the man who was in the ring, not outside of it.
Diplomatic. I have taught this man to be diplomatic in all aspects. And right now he's being very diplomatic. He's being a diplomat for professional wrestling, coming on this show, talking about professional wrestling, trying to get, raise awareness, even though I don't know why he's talking about raising awareness when your listenership is already wrestling fans.
There's nothing diplomatic about respect, though, between two performers. It seems like Mark has a lot of respect for Jesse.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he should, and I do as well. But the fact of the matter is that was a one-off. That was a fluke.
Well, then I guess we have to do it
again. I was going to say, what if they fought again?
I would love to see that, because I feel, two out of three, a man will beat a woman in the wrestling ring.
So what would your stance be if, we have a rematch and Mark loses again?
I feel like that would just be a two-off.
So then
we're going to have a best of three out of five. We're just going to keep going with this. It's never going
to
end.
I would love to see a best of seven series with you and Jesse Brooks.
So however, this is the indie rock and Stone Cold. It's a Jesse Brooks Mark House.
I was thinking more of an indie Booker T and
he who shall not be named.
Booker T and Asterix.
Asterix.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess we'll let it be at that.
So
now.
You're saying also that this is a perfect time for Andy Kaufman to finally reveal that he's still alive and come back.
Does that mean him and I can tag?
Obviously.
I'd watch it.
Newsflash, Andy Kaufman is actually Jesse Brooks.
What? No.
Okay. Andy Kaufman and Mark Krieger tagging up again.
That would be glorious. You could beat all the women in the ring.
You could beat all the women?
In the ring.
In the ring. Not in the bedroom like the New York State Athletic Commission head honcho would have you
see,
believe.
Now that's sexist.
I'm going to pass on that.
That's sexist. I'm not being sexist. That's being sexist.
Oh, I will agree with you there. That was very sexist.
100%.
But it's nice that it is a time for the New York State Athletic Commission to get called out, because it's not just inconsistencies like this, but there are issues across the state with, you guys can fight in the crowd. No, you can't. You guys need guardrails. No, you don't really need them. There are so many inconsistencies over the years that they need to get on the same
page. Hire chairs together.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how disorganized that is from being around the scene for years and stuff, and now it seems like clearly they're not moving in the right direction.
So. Clearly nothing's changed.
The tie the chairs thing together, I've been to shows where chairs have been tied together. Is that's a commission thing?
That's supposedly a commission thing.
Yes, it's a commission thing, because they feel that if you hit a chair, it's less dangerous to have the whole row fall down than one, and it takes a lot more force to knock a whole row down. It's weird.
Oh, so it's a safety for the fans?
Yeah.
It's not so like a wrestler can't just grab a chair sort of thing?
No, it's a safety for the fans.
They really just want a wrestler to grab 10 chairs at once for a 10-chair shot.
So that means we need to have a 20-man tag.
We need to have a 20-man tag. I want to see a 20-man tag and all 10 pick up all 10 chairs.
But no, like you were saying with the commission and all that, I feel like now, especially with their inconsistencies, you're saying, is that all it does is that it hurts, in my opinion, it hurts wrestling, because it gives any Jay Brown any opportunity to come in, spend a few bucks or their tax return, and set up a company and not have all the proper regulations, where you have people like the UPWs, the 2CWs, the Excite Wrestlings, the ESWs that really put the money into it and really spend the time being professional about it.
Right.
Hurt their product because they charge, there's other companies that don't have any of that stuff that can charge less money with less work rate to be able to put on product to drive people away instead of getting the top-end companies to be able to flourish.
That's always been an issue with indie wrestling, because if somebody goes and they check out a show that's not necessarily on par with the others around the state, then why are they going to go check out one of the others? Where there is a huge difference in talent levels and effort from the promoters and everything else, so... If you tried a show you didn't really like it, try another one. Maybe it'll be more your cup of tea.
I was going to say, we're heading to break, and I just got to back up something Mark said. Go support indie wrestling.
Yeah,
go
absolutely.
Out. Have a good time. It's fun. I got to shout at a man last night telling him that he was the jockey for another man. Where else could you shout at somebody that, and just the interactions you get to have.
I do that.
And the things you get to see. You just walk up to some guy, tell him he's a jockey
Anytime I see a very short man, not like a man with a disability, but a very short man, I say that to him.
You're a jockey?
You're a jockey.
All right. And on that note, let's go to break. After the break, We're taking your calls. We got to talk NXT. We got to talk SummerSlam. That's next here on the Pain Clinic, Fox Sports 1280.
Get ready to binge. It's new to view. Streaming edition.
Hi, I'm Chris Perisic, and here's what's new to streaming this week. On Netflix out now, we've got Adam Sandler's Big Daddy, The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, The Wedding Planner, the Coen Brothers classic No Country for Old Men, Louis C.K.'s new special Live at the Comedy Store, and NCIS Season 13. Next week, look for Law & Order SUV, the 17th year. 17 years? And Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy team up for the new special, We've Been Thinking. Out now on Hulu is Beavis and Butthead Do America, The Gaz, Ryan Gosling and Lars and the Real Girl, the RoboCop franchise, the very adult The Silence of the Lambs, and its polar opposite, Shaun the Sheep movie. Out now on Amazon Prime, Dustin Hoffman and the classic thriller Marathon Man, the critically acclaimed Inside Llewellyn Davis, and the Amazon original, Elvis and Nixon. And next week on Amazon Prime, look for Melancholia, starring Kristen Dunst.
And that's new to view. Streaming edition on iHeartRadio.
Listen to me Monday, 3 till 6, on the one and only Fox Sports 1280, Rochester.
Yeah, they don't want none. What none is, I still haven't really, it hasn't been clarified.
A bad meal.
They don't want any, though, right? I mean,
bad indie wrestling?
Okay, so now we're getting into just grammatical syntax here.
I think
she's
actually speaking about nuns and their habit. I don't want a nun because.
Winthrop, you want to weigh in on this?
I think it's just bad syntax. They don't want anything. That's what it should be.
It's just not as catchy.
I mean, you're printing that on T-shirts and everything else. I mean, I don't know. It's just...
We'll get the grammar police on it.
It's just He's not, sitting next to me.
It's just not good English. Yeah.
They don't speak good English. All right, back here on the Pain Clinic. Again, we are brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, my favorite location, Donuts Delight, Empire Culver, provided that delicious honey bun that the artiste will be indulging in a little bit. But don't forget, we're going to be out at our other favorite location, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. We're going to be out there September 10th for UFC 203. Stipe Miocic?
Yes.
Did I get that right? Did I finally say it?
Against Alistair Overeem.
And guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to try to do accents.
Are you going to mess up CM Punk's name, too?
No, I'm not going to mess up CM Punk's name. I'm not going to call Mark Haas. Mark Haas,
really,
his proper name.
It. Man, every single time you do that, it's another fiver. You got 10 now.
Ten
now.
And Winthrop clarified that it's not payola, so I can accept it. That is UFC 203. That's September 10th. A Saturday starts at 10 o'clock. And then the next night, the first ever SmackDown-branded pay-per-view Backlash. That starts at 8 o'clock. So join us Saturday night, join us Sunday night. Hell, join us both nights.
First ever?
First ever.
First ever SmackDown.
Second generation of the new era, whatever they want to call it this
time.
Right,
let's be clear, guys.
So when does the brand split end? Can we make predictions on that?
3 years. I gave it 3 years.
Okay.
Two and a half.
How long was the first one?
The first one was like eight.
I think it was like 20.
Was it really that long?
Well, I mean, it was the brand split, but then they all started to bleed together.
Yeah.
And then they officially ended it.
The Raw Super Show.
It was over before they officially said it was over, but it was like an 8-year period. All right, so we got a couple calls lined up. Let's get to them. A lot happened this week. NXT, SummerSlam, injuries. What the hell happened in the Randy Orton-Brock Lesnar match? What happened when Brock Lesnar got backstage? First call up, though, Scott and Henrietta. Scott, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. Welcome back, Artis.
Thank you.
So I will say this. We've probably seen the end of Seth Rollins' buckle bomb.
The end of the curb stomp.
See, I don't know about the end of the buckle bomb, because if he had taken it properly, he would be fine.
You know, here's the problem with this, though. You know, CrossFit Jesus wants to say that he's the strongest guy, you know, for his weight class, but he seems to have an awful problem lining people up correctly for them to land, because he lost his balance when he was walking outside, and you can tell that was just painful to watch. And that's the second person he's done it to in how many months? I mean, how many months? He retired Sting the last time, and this time he...
Well, that was last September, and Sting actually took the move right. He already had back problems, though. That was one they should have discussed beforehand. Finn, if you missed it, actually caught his arm over the side of the rail, and it looked pretty painful. He popped his shoulder back into place on the spot to finish the match, but tore his labrum and all that good stuff. But
he also reached out for it.
Yeah, he reached out. You could tell he was looking back, and he was looking for the fall. That's when you're taught to wrestle, you're taught to tuck your chin and just wait for the bump, and he actually looked for it, and that's when people end up getting hurt, unfortunately.
If he's not comfortable with it, then he shouldn't be doing it. It's just becoming more and more odd, and I don't like thinking that Bret Hart was right the first time, and I like thinking that, you know, it was Sting's back, but, you know, Bret's been making quite a name for himself this week, basically saying, I told you so to everybody who would listen, because yet again, we're talking an injury to a top-tier performer, and yet again, it's with a match with Seth Rollins.
This is going to get me a lot of heat, but Bret Hart is a jaded old man who thinks everything is wrong.
I was a big Bret Hart fan growing up, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
It's become that way more often. It's just it's painful to watch because Finn is finally getting everything he deserved, and now he's out for 6 months, and God knows how the hell they're going to repackage him, except I'll bet he'll be the number 30 entrant in the Rumble.
Who's to say that torn labrum isn't everything that he deserved, huh, Guy?
Quite a bit, actually. You know, founder of the Bullet Club, multi-time champion, several wonderful things. I think he's been probably one of the top-tier performers in NXT, and he's also been a really good guy, so I wouldn't really say that.
So he's going to be the main head on Mount Rushmore of wrestling in like 50 years, right?
No. Why don't you be quiet, because your guy got taken to Suplex City by a girl last week.
Social media manager, you going to spin this one?
Things happen.
Well, I mean, and Scott, you at least have to admit, though, it's just an unfortunate thing. I mean, who's to say? Who's to say Finn couldn't have been in a match with anybody else and had a similar injury or worse happen? I mean, that's a fact of the business.
Things,
you're going to step
happen.
In the ring.
That's what it
things
is.
Happen.
Look at what happened to Seth himself with a knee injury. I mean, stuff like that happens. What Finn deserved, if he was going to come up to the main roster immediately, win a main belt, he should have been able to do that in the main event of SummerSlam, not buried in the middle of the card.
That's my
big problem with that. That could have been a moment. If you weren't going to make that the main event, then save that for another time.
You know what really just bugs me about the whole thing in general was that NXT was wildly entertaining and was the best wrestling show on the 3 days of wrestling that we had for the weekend. Because SummerSlam, I'll be honest, I fell asleep before Orton even walked out. I was so bored with it. And then Monday night, I fell asleep halfway through because I was bored with that too.
Well,
I was actually more impressed with NXT and SmackDown this week.
Are you sure maybe you're not narcoleptic?
No, I just really wasn't into the pay-per-view. It was too long. It was too boring.
Maybe you need more protein or caffeine.
Am I the only one that thought, though, that like when you look at the takeover events over the years, that this one wasn't near the top of the list? It was good. It was enjoyable, but it wasn't nearly as good as last year's.
No, it was not as good as other events they've had in the past, although I will say that tag team match with Gargano and Ciampa against the Revival was phenomenal. But still, even some of the less than stellar matches on that NXT card far exceeded the matches we saw the Raw and SmackDown rosters put on. But that's nothing new. That's been the trend for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I was hoping Mark would be on because I know Mark and I share a love for tag team wrestling, and that was pretty much a clinic we saw between Gargano, Ciampa, and the Revival. It was everything I was hoping for, so I was really pleased about that. But the problem I have with this is you would think after 2 years, WWE would know that NXT is going to come out, they're going to kill themselves, they're going to try and steal the weekend, and they still haven't responded appropriately. They just can't put together a good pay-per-view after an NXT TakeOver event. It's the strangest thing.
Well, the thing you're running into is they don't care. NXT gets a smaller crowd. They love the crowd it draws and everything. They love the fact that their guys are getting some recognition before they come up, and people know who they are when they come up, you know, with Finn and stuff like that. But they're going to go out and do the same thing. It's two different writing teams. It's two different people in charge of what happens at the end, and they're going to come out and do the same thing regardless. They had 13 matches on SummerSlam. The thing went, if you count the pre-show, for like 8 hours. No one cares that much to watch that long. So they're just going to hit bits and pieces. They're going to give everybody what they want. You've got Cena and AJ Styles was a great match. Mm-hmm. That was a great match.
It saved
yeah.
that whole card. And I will say this, WWE is in trouble, too, especially with them doing this brand split. There was, all of us guys sitting there watching it, there was an audible groan when they aired that promo saying that they were announcing 7 new pay-per-views this year, in addition to the 12 they already do. So you can't fill out one of your biggest cards of the year, and you're going to add 7 more shows.
Well, what they also need to do is that when you take away half the roster from Raw, for the love of God, get rid of the third hour of Raw, or at least stop going past 11 o'clock Eastern.
See, but that's more a USA Network problem than it is a WWE Network.
Well, Triple H at one time made it seem like he didn't even want the third hour, but clearly, like, they can't fill 3 hours. It needs to go away because it's so watered down. There's too many recaps and everything else. That, I mean, like, it's tough enough sometimes now on a Monday night for me to listen to 3 hours of Raw when I'm barely even watching the screen for half the time. I'm doing laundry. I'm doing other things. It's just too long.
Do people still watch it live? I watch everything time-shifted.
Sometimes. The 21st century. Sometimes the 90-minute Hulu version sounds a lot more entertaining.
It's so good.
Who doesn't DVR? Who doesn't use Hulu?
I like my
You're
Hulu
living in the past. If you're living in the past, if you're actually paying attention to broadcast.
All right, we got Brian up next. Brian wants to talk about SummerSlam. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, Artie. I miss you, buddy. I'm mad if you're showing this video. You know, with what happened at the end of SummerSlam with the TKO, here's my thought about this. Why does Brock Lesnar, and this bothered me about Brock Lesnar for a while now, why does it seem Brock Lesnar always comes in and starts with suplexes, and then he goes to his MMA style? I mean, it seemed like if he's going to be a wrestler, wrestle. If he's going to do MMA, go to MMA. I can't understand Brock Lesnar.
I'll take this one, guys.
Brian, thanks for the call.
That is very simply put because Brock Lesnar is one of the greatest athletes of all time. And unlike the local hybrid Sean Carr, Brock Lesnar is a true hybrid athlete. He can do anything he needs to do. So by starting with suplexes and ending with MMA, he's proving to everyone watching both sports that he is the greatest, potentially, of all time.
Yeah, that match, though, was... it's a very poor choice to me to end the show. It seemed rushed. Ending was confusing. Yeah.
If they gave them if it was an actual wrestling match they put on instead of what we saw, that's fine. It could have been the main event if they had actually let them go all out and everything. With what they did, it should have been earlier in the card.
There's no reason for it to be a main event because if Brock's going to disappear anyway, then why would that end the show? You know he's going to win one way or another, but it's not for a title. Brock's going to disappear. It's not going to entice you to watch Raw for the coming weeks. That should be mid.
Is this the last pay-per-view before they split all the pay-per-views?
Yes.
Yes.
And all the big pay-per-views are going to be both brands.
And that's when you'll see Brock Lesnar is during those four
pay-per-views. Have you guys thought about maybe the branding concept of if they move the titles to the middle of the show? Well, not the middle, but they should have been, a little higher than they were. They're saying that the titles are equal. They're saying that the titles are the same. They're saying that Brock Lesnar is bigger than the titles, which unfortunately is the case. They're aligning everything the way they should. It's marketing. It's branding. Because we're not going to see the titles on the same pay-per-view until what? SummerSlam?
But put Brock in the middle of the card, and then you can have that moment of Finn winning the title at the end of the show, and awesome. Like, everybody goes home happy for once.
Oh, that used to be the concept.
Which never happened.
But they kind of lost that. And speaking of the new belts, we'll talk about that next with Rashawn. He's on the hold. Real quick, I know we got to hit the break. Find it funny that Brock Lesnar failed the drug test, doesn't get suspended by WWE. Randy Orton talks crap. Randy Orton suspended for 60 days.
Is that true?
I believe it was actually an old post that came up.
Oh, was it an
earlier,
old one?
Yeah.
Earlier in the week. I really wanted that irony. 2012, I really wanted it to be true.
Because I'm pretty sure it's like his seventh or eighth strike. So
I know, we always joke two-strike Randy when really it's like seven or eight. All right, let's take our last break. Rashawn, you're up next on the Pain Clinic, Fox Sports 1280.
Two simple words that go a long way.
Thank you.
We thank you.
I gotta thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for putting up with our yelling.
Get out of here!
Our stuttering.
And
our egos.
I'm an egomaniac.
But most of all, we want to thank you for allowing us into your car, home, smartphone, or office.
and it explodes everywhere.
Thank you to the best sports fans out there.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester. Fox Sports 1280 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now.
Come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
The new 1872 Cafe at 431 West Main Street. A coffee revolution. Downtown Rochester. Open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. featuring the $2 Speedy Slice.
Wake up and talk sports with Andy Furman and Mike North. Monday morning, 6 till 9, only on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Yeah, who knows? We might see Big Cass as the next Universal champion.
Hey,
no, I will bet a lot against that.
Pump the brakes. It could be worse. They could give it to Roman.
Very true.
I don't know if that's worse. What? I'm sorry.
Sanderson, I'm putting you on the spot
Big
right
Cass
now.
Big Cass has not earned that spot. Roman, I'm not a fan of, and I don't want that to happen.
So if you had to pick one.
I'm going to pick Roman in that situation. Big Cass.
So we're going on the record and saying that Rob Sanderson wants
Roman Reigns to be Universal Champion.
That doesn't tell the whole story, right?
But that is what we're saying.
I want anybody else in the picture
just
to
not
win.
But given those two options, Rob Sanderson wants Roman Reigns to be the Universal Champion.
I don't like any of that sentence, including the word universal, but I'm not going to disagree with that being a factual statement.
I'm going to go out
in
on
that
a
specific circumstance.
I'm going to go out on a limb and
do you
think,
mind if I tweet
I,
that?
I think I speak for everybody right now where really if we're talking this match, this Fatal 4-Way Monday, we all want Kevin Owens to win, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the best possible outcome.
I've been on the road all week, and I didn't see Raw or SmackDown, so who's in this
Fatal
match?
Fatal 4-Way, no. Big Cass, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Owens. Kevin Owens.
I want Owens, yeah.
I want Owens, and then I want Owens Jericho to be like his trash-talking sidekick.
Oh, yeah. Those two together, that needs to keep going.
Oh, that's one of the best things. Yeah. Some of the best entertainment that I've had seen in the longest time.
It's so good.
They're so glorious.
Jericho's had so many partners, sidekicks, whatever, over the years. Quick tag team partner stints.
Never going to get
here and there,
Jericho,
but this could be the best one. Jericho might have the best theme song.
It definitely has the best theme song.
So let's get the Jericho theme song going, the remix.
All right, let's talk with Rashawn right now. Rashawn, you want to talk about those new belts?
Yes, good morning. But really quickly first, I want to welcome back to Archie's, you know, the first guy that I agree to disagree with on this show. I'm glad you're living your dream.
Thank you.
And by the way,
the show would not be fun if everybody agreed all the time.
On the show is Mark, who's been in hiding for months now. But I saw a lot of the internet reaction to the Universal title. You know, everybody hates the red belt, apparently. And then you come back on SmackDown a couple days later, and they introduce the new tag belts, and they introduce the new women's championship, and those are bright blue. And to an extent, I actually like having the belts all basically look the same, because if they start going with all kinds of crazy designs, it can get really, really, really outlandish for where they can go. I still hate the design on the tag straps, but what can we do?
I'm with you. I still hate the design, too, but I will say this. The SmackDown version is a vast improvement over the Raw version.
Didn't they just make them silver?
Yeah, and it looks better. The ones on Raw have always looked like massive copper.
The belt marks on the internet refer to the new tags as penny tags. The SmackDown version are just dime tags. They just look like... I think they look awful.
They never should have went Universal Champion. It should have been whatever, Raw Champion, SmackDown Champion. Just paint the WWE logo swoosh blue for the SmackDown one. Make it red for WWE for the Raw one. You have the same belt for that. I'm fine if you want to make them look the same. Like the women's look the same on each. Like give the blue one to SmackDown.
I think that's the one place
they
got it right is with the women's.
Yeah, the women's titles aren't that bad.
Yeah.
The women's belt is correct on SmackDown. I've had an issue with the Raw women's belt or the first women's championship belt for a while because with the red background on that, they made a red swoosh in it, and they should have made the swoosh black on that belt or white, in my opinion. But
that's just crazy what gets debated now in 2016.
I agree with you, man. If we're really gonna talk about design, I'm a graphic designer. If we're going to talk about design, let's talk about the minutiae. You know, if you're going to recolor stuff, if you're going to use your brand just across the board for all your dudes, that's great. But the minutiae are where it is. That's the important thing. I love all these belts. It shows us who the champion is. Does a belt need to be pretty? Would I prefer a pretty belt? Yes. Does a belt need to be pretty? No. Because you know what? They look like rings. They look like Super Bowl rings.
Hey, at least these ones don't spin.
Are we going to get a cruiserweight belt or just a division?
Freaking heavyweight championship belt. I like that belt. That's still one of my favorites to this day. The big Screaming Eagle belt. I love that belt. So,
I mean, yeah, those classic designs. You know, the ones designed by Reggie Parks are just great. And I mean, the Intercontinental title still to this day is the best looking belt they've ever had.
The white
and
strap
still
is great.
Using
yeah.
it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's awesome, Rashawn. Thank you very much for the call. We got another caller on the line. Colin, what do you want to talk about with us this morning? Colin, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. You know, what I wanted to talk about was how do you guys think they're going to book, you know, some of these guys' returns who got injured or who got suspended? I mean, how do you guys think they should book their returns?
Well, I mean, the big one, the big injury, obviously, is Finn Balor. We're looking at potentially a six-month turnaround there. Royal Rumble might be pushing it. You know, surprise entrant in the Rumble, maybe. I'm thinking best case scenario for him might be the one in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Get him back with enough time where usually between that February pay-per-view and WrestleMania, they get 6 or 7 weeks to build up, which would be
of
plenty of time.
It's usually 6 or 7 weeks of dead air.
Oh, yeah.
Where they waste the time.
They pick cruise control at that point, and they're just, you know, letting the ball roll downhill. But still plenty of time to reintroduce him. Not that you're going to have to. You're not going to have to reintroduce them. You bring them back. The place is going to go nuts. People are still going to love them. Yep. It's not going to take much effort. Is that okay with you, Colin?
Yeah.
All right. Colin, thank you very much for the call this morning. We got Joe on the line next. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm all right. Talking about the belts, this is where they missed the mark. And I've said this for several years. This would have been a perfect opportunity. Get me a TV title. I don't care which brand you put it on. Get me a TV title. Have them defend it every week. Get me old school NWA. Get me old school TNA. Get me a TV title. WWE missed the boat. Universal Champion means nothing. TV title would have been the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you that the Universal title, again, not the best option.
No.
So but you can't have SmackDown with the WWE World Champion and then Raw with the TV champion.
But if you had a TV title, what's the purpose of a TV title? Most people consume wrestling on TV now anyway.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be.
The reason of the TV title back in the day was that it was something special because it was only on TV. You could only see it on TV, and watching it on TV was the weird thing.
So we need a WWE Network championship, too?
That's exactly what we need. And we need a half-an-hour superstar show every Saturday at noon where there's only one match. And it's
I just want
LiveWire
to come back.
Shotgun
Painfully put it out of business.
Sunday night. You put it out of business, Ortiz. You put it out of business. We have the audio to prove it. Not a TV title. I don't think you're going to be getting that anytime soon. But
hopefully,
with cruiserweights, I'd love to see a cruiserweight title come back.
It'll be a little W logo.
Yeah. They'll bring back Tatsumi Fujinami.
What was that?
They'll bring back Tatsumi Fujinami. If you remember, he was the WWE lightweight champ in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if you remember. Great Japanese wrestler.
Yeah, I could bring him back and let Michael Cole confuse all the moves he does.
Michinoku Driver.
Let that happen. I was honestly hoping that with this split, they'd want to give SmackDown one more title. I'd love to see them bring back, like, the European title. Something like that. I mean, we could never do the hardcore title again. I guess cruiserweights are what we're going to get.
Cruiserweights
are exclusive to Raw.
That's going to be to Raw because they got the extra hour, which, I mean, they'll fill time in the extra hour and we'll see some good matches because you're going
to
see.
Will that be the 8 to 9 time slot?
If it's anything like Nitro, it will be, and that was awesome. That was my favorite hour of television.
Wait, so we're running out of time. There's one last thing we have to talk about real quick. It was the big, big thing that happened this past weekend. Everybody's thoughts on Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz, the chicken versus the colonel.
Oh, boy.
That was glorious.
We were sitting there watching it at Salvatore's, and we couldn't believe it was actually happening. And then I went back and watched it again at home. And I said, this might be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was perfect product placement.
Yes.
That's what product placement needs to be. You take your sponsor.
It's glorious.
It's saying it's glorious. That's all. It's all Jackson.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Now we need 15,000 people singing this at the same time.
I'll tell you what. Based on NXT, I've already looked into getting my tickets to St. Catharines. I want to be part of some sing-alongs and see some good NXT action.
It's a nice hockey rink there in St. Catharines.
Artis can tell us what
some
the
food
good seats are going to be.
Across the street if you go. So.
All right. Well, thank you for everybody for coming in today. Mark House, thank you very much for
coming in.
Artiste.
Good to see you guys. I want to just say real quick, I've known Mark for a long time, and I'm proud of his progress as of late. Man, you're killing it. Always hearing your name pop up. Keep doing your thing.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
He has his manager here to thank for that.
I'm not a manager. Don't call me a manager.
Sorry.
I'm a social media advisor and life coach.
All right. Fair enough.
And official best friend.
Fair enough.
It's Honey Bun time.
That's it for the Pain Clinic this week. Everybody have a great weekend. Fox Sports 1280.